Turn with me in your Bible. We'd be reading from the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 21. And before we read God's holy word, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And we pray, Father, that as we read your word, as we study your word, as we spend time working through this passage this morning, Father, that it may speak to us in a way that not only changes our lives, but changes us in a way, Father, that we can live stronger for you. And so, Father, we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans 12, 3 to 21, the word of the Lord. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. Just as each of us has one body and many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep with spiritual fervor. Serving the Lord, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends. Leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. And do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his holy word. Amen. A really strange set of statistics has surfaced in North America in the last decade. Many people claim to be religious, and yet church attendance has continued to decline. Many people say, well, I'm definitely a member of the church, but they never attend. It's like me saying to you that I'm a member of the Toronto Maple Leafs, but I can't skate and I don't play hockey and I've only been to a couple of games. But ask yourself this. What does it really say? It means that a lot of people feel that they don't need to be part of the local church. They feel that they don't need to be part of this community. In order for them to have a healthy life, they think that they no longer need to be part of this, but there's something out there that the world has to offer them. And they don't require what's so important, a healthy relationship with God. This idea has gained some strength with a lot of people. They think they see themselves as a floating or what's called a seasonal Christian. And as somebody had said to me not too long ago, I go to church. I was there at Christmas. I was there at Easter the year before, and my sister's boy got married. And in one sense, they see themselves as a Christian at large. They said, I've been baptized when I was a baby, so I don't need to go anymore to church. You see, I am now good. To which the comment was, good at what? Or good for what? Well, no, I'm in. You know how that works. A lot of people take advantage of the church, of the benefits of the church and what the church brings to the community and the culture, and yet they don't want to be part of it. There are many reasons why people stay away from church. And we've all had the opportunity to go through the report from Dave Denhahn. And it has a lot to say about it, but I wonder if people just don't see it anymore as a place to add this dimension in there of health and encouragement in their lives. And if you look around today, you understand that there are people who really need encouragement. As Linda prayed with all of us today, we see how so many people are hurting, struggling, and you can't do that on your own. Just look around and see what's happening here in our church community, and then take a look at what's happening in the broader world. So if people need strength and encouragement, why don't people see the church as a place to find it? Well, going through this particular passage this morning, we see that the Apostle Paul gives us a blueprint for the kind of church where everybody needs to be as an encourager. And the kind of church that will be encouragement to those who will attend. His blueprint is found where he discusses the spiritual gifts. There are two extensive passages, being Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. But when we look at Paul's instructions to the body of Christ in Romans 12 concerning the spiritual gifts and the ministry to the body, we see how incredibly important it is for each of us as believers to be an encourager to one another. And not only here, but to our friends and our neighbors and those who don't attend church. In Romans 12, 3 and 8, Paul says, under no uncertain terms, he says, really, what he's saying is that every believer has been given a measure of faith by God. And that measure of faith is what we see and call a spiritual gift. And it's given for the recipient for use in strengthening, building up, encouraging, edifying the rest of the church. This doctrine usually comes across for a lot of people as a surprise when they hear it for the first time, because sometimes they see that this is what happens. There's a wall between the pulpit and the pews. And they think that everything is important and that serve nature takes place on this side of the line. And yet when it happens to take it out into the world, well, I heard it on Sunday and that's okay, because I don't need to bring it any further than that. We seem to sometimes have church as a spectator sport and an observer sport. And one is on one side of the line and one is on the other. And you know what? There's nothing further than the truth. There's not a line separating what you and I have been called to do and how we're to go out and serve. Instead of a line being there and a wall, as we see, it's an absolute massive circle that encompasses each and every one, true believers, pastors, members, everyone alike. The only difference that each of us have is the difference in the gifts and the roles that we have. But to each of the members of the body of Christ, we have been given a gift. And not only when every member becomes an active participant in the ministry of the church, it is then that the church becomes that living, organic source of encouragement that God has intended it to be. It's not based on numbers. It's not based on budgets. It's based on the faithful, the seekers, the lost, the hurting. It's based on all of us, wherever we are in life, on how we're doing life, on what we're going through. We are to encourage one another. We're to spur one another on, building each other up. And this morning, I'd like for us to go through the six aspects of the body of Christ, which calls for every member to be an active employer of the spiritual gifts that you have been given. And as we work through them, we see that there's the immensity of the church. The church is absolutely massive. We have many members in one body around the world. Paul is speaking to the entire body of Christ worldwide. He's not speaking just to this local congregation. There are many members of the Church of Jesus Christ, but all members do not have the same function. Because God has given every single believer a measure of faith that is manifested in spiritual gifts, and he expects every one of the members to be involved in building up and strengthening the body of Christ around the world. The responsibility is for here for us now, but it extends to every church around the world. That's what we're called to do, build up the body of Christ. God had never intended that there was someone to be at the top of the church structure that takes care of the ministry. Nor does he intend it for it to be at the local level. There's far too many people for your pastor or your pastoral elders to reach out and show care to one another. In this era of mega churches where we see these absolute massive thousands of people coming together to worship on a Sunday, it's ever more true. You see, there are times you can just show up and then you can leave. You can get lost in the numbers. And yet there are churches that are a smaller congregation. There's this ability to work together, to share with one another, to encourage one another, to build up. And as long as each believer is using the gifts to build up the body of Christ, then the church will be an encouraging place for us to be. Every time a person in the body of Christ says, well, that's okay, but it's not my responsibility to encourage that person. Well, then that means that somebody in our church or the churches around the world is not getting that encouragement what they need. And they're not getting what God had intended for them to have. So unique is the spiritual gift that you have been given, that God has blessed us with, that it doesn't matter the size of the church. There is always enough members to take care of it. Paul says that there are many members of the church that are united in one body. Just as the human body has individual limbs, organs that perform functions and yet are attached and yet unified, so is the body of Christ. Diversity yet unity is the way to describe the church. To use for us an athletic metaphor, brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, we're all on the same team. We're all striving for the same goal. Spiritual gifts have been given by God to strengthen individuals, but with the team in mind. And individual members, they're encouraged. They're built up. The church is at large, is made healthier when that happens. It is made stronger, and we want the church to be stronger. We want the church to grow, but we also want the church to be incredibly healthy. That is so important. And so it is in our community. Our society, with those who are less healthy, will be a draw to the church. Because when they see the lives that we live and the encouragement that we give one another and to them, they will be drawn into that source of strength. And think about this for a moment. How encouraged, or why would a person be drawn into something that seems less healthy than the person is themselves? Wasn't it Jesus Christ's emotional, his spiritual, his physical health, part of his uniqueness? Surely people recognize something in him. Jesus was a human being like no other in society. You see, Jesus spoke with authority. He was wise. He was healthy. He was unruffled by the social and political turmoil of the day. And each one of us is important in the body of Christ, in the sight of God. You see, if we are a healthy body of believers, and we see it as our goal to encourage part of the body, we will continue to grow and prosper and flourish regardless of numbers and budgets. We are able to spread our joy and our encouragement in amongst ourselves, but also to our neighbors and our friends. The diversity of the church. The body of church of Christ is large, but yet it's still one. And that brings into focus the diversity of the body of Christ. You see, not only are we diverse in the spiritual gifts that we've been given, but we are diverse in many other ways as well. It's plainly obvious not one person can minister to everyone. And it's extremely unlikely that that one person could minister to each individual person. You see, we are all unique in our ways. We all have things that we need prayer over. We all have things that we struggle with. We all have things that wear heavy on our heart. And it's impossible for one person to do that for each other. So that's why we're all called to minister and to share and to show love. Everyone needs to be an encourager. I would imagine there's someone here in the body of Christ today who could connect with another person in terms of giftedness and personalities, and we can do so that each one of us are connected in some way. There's some divorced people in church. There are families who have mental or physical challenges. There are families with financial challenges. There are people struggling with their marriage. There are people who are dissatisfied with their vocations. There are people who are suffering from life-threatening illnesses. There are people who are trapped in moral sins and addictions. And the church is like a kaleidoscope in two ways. It's incredibly varied when you look at it at that moment in time. But it never looks the same way twice. The church, our church, my church, it's not the same church you attended last week. It won't be the same church you've attended, will attend next week, because things happen to each and every one of us every minute of the day throughout our lives that will impact our needs the following day, the following week, the following month. And because our needs, our experiences change, the ability to minister on the basis of what we learn changes as well. You see, someone who experiences a crisis in January can come out of that crisis in the other side in March. And they are able to be an encourager to someone who is entering into that similar crisis in April. The body of Christ is so diversified and changes so rapidly, it is imperative that each member be active in encouraging and building up the church. When Paul says that we are each members, that we belong to others in Romans 12:5, he's saying that in spite of our uniqueness, we're all connected. In fact, not only are we connected, we find the longer we're here together, as Linda shared, as we're like a family, we become dependent on one another. Just as the human body grows weak, as individual organs begin to malfunction or shut down, so does that happen in the body of Christ. We simply cannot have everyone doing what God's called them to do in that sense. We need to work together with the gifts given to each of us. Pastor Ken Hughes talks about the plague of ecclesiastical hitchhikers in today's church. Hitchhikers want you to buy the car. They want you to pay for the insurance and the gas. They want you to keep it well maintained. But they also want you to let them ride in it. And sometimes it can be the same way with Christians in the church. You see, they're happy to let someone else keep the church well-oiled and running smoothly so they can drop in as their schedules or their needs dictate. George Barna, the Christian pollster, agrees with this. He said, "The average adult thinks that belonging to a church is really a good idea for other people. But it represents an unnecessary bondage and an unnecessary baggage for themselves." And I came across an interesting quote. Someone once said that the church has two kinds of people in it. There are pillars and there are caterpillars. The pillars hold up the church so that the caterpillars can crawl in whenever they want or feel the need. And in some ways, I think that's not a bad thing. Not everyone at every time is strong enough to hold the church up, and some are barely strong enough to get themselves in to come in through the doors on any given Sunday. But overall, there are far too many people who are healthy, but just don't see the need or the relevance for being involved. And if you are spiritually strong and you're spiritually doing well, and you're not involved, then you're not connected. The church has a responsibility. And Paul says in verse 6 that we have different gifts according to the grace given to us. Well, then use them. If we're going to be encouraging the body of Christ who needs it, not to mention those in our cultures who are struggling or are looking for some relief that only Jesus can give, then someone needs to be an encourager. And this won't happen just because we talk about it or we plan it. It will happen when we use the gifts that God has given to each of us for that very purpose. You see, sometimes we need to step up and stop playing church and actually be the church that we're called to be. We're responsible to God first and to one another to use the gifts that He has entrusted to each one of us. You're not too old. You're not too young. You're not too sick or you're not too whatever to be encouraging and to be lifting up someone. The characteristics of the church, and when we characterize a church that's decided to use its gifts to encourage and to build up the body of Christ, we see that there are four things. The encouragers of the church will be genuine. You can't be phony and expect someone to be encouraged by you. Paul says in verse 9, love must be sincere. Encouragers can't fake it well. They have to be real. People have to be attracted to genuineness. Encouragers will be assertive. If you think that I'm adopting the characteristic of the world system, then look at the words that Paul uses in this section of the verses. Be devoted, never lacking. In verse 13, the phrase practice hospitality literally means that. And that's my commercial for signing up for the coffee. And guess who's coming for coffee and for lunch next week? It can be one of the problems that we see in the church today. Everyone else thinks that somebody else is doing it, taking care of the people's needs. And if everyone thinks that, then no one is thinking of anyone. We can't sit back and assume that someone else is going to do it. If new people come to church, we're better off having three people invite them for coffee or lunch than no one at all. Encouragers will be selfless. Paul's words in verses 14 and 15 are meant to get us out of who we are and into who someone else is. You see, we're far too absorbed in what the world tells us today. And if you listen to all these commercials, they say it needs to be our needs. We need to set the world to our schedule, our failures, our weaknesses. And encouraging people and getting involved is kind of like having kids. If you can wait till you can afford it, or if you're wise enough then to finally be a parent, or if you just have the right time to finally raise kids, then you're never going to have them. You have to get out of yourself and into another person's life when you feel ready and able and equipped or not. And usually we feel like not, but we need to. We have to step into being encouraging others. Encouragers will be humble. Finally, in verse 16, do not be proud, do not be conceited. If you are the kind of person who only wants to reach out to people who are like yourself, those who have got it all together, then we really have a long way to go. We need to reach out to every person regardless in their needs. The Church of Jesus Christ is where God wants the world to come, to be built up from the ravages of sin and darkness. And the best way for us to shine as a light on the threshold of the kingdom is for us to welcome one of them with open arms and open hearts and say, come on in. Let me give you a little bit of the encouragement that God has given me. That's what it means for all of us to be an encourager in the body of Christ. Let us pray.